guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Walks are up. Hit by pitches are all-time high on a pace. So those two areas tell you that it's not about command. Now it's about who's throwing the nastiest. Is it coincidence that Gerrit Cole's spin rate numbers went down yesterday after four minor leagues get suspended for 10 games? Is it, you know, is that possible? I don't know.
Yes.
Fight.
Honestly, like, this is exactly, well, I hope for two things when the Twins signed Josh Donaldson. I hope that they would win more games. I hope that they would win a World Series or just a playoff game. That would be nice. If that's not possible, I just wanted conflict. I wanted him to be calling guys out. I wanted the thing that happened between Josh Donaldson and Glenn Perkins like 5 or 6 years ago. I wanted that like every night. And damn it, we're going to get it tonight. And I don't know what's going to happen, but Gerrit Cole and Josh Donaldson are going to show down tonight at Target Field. And I am here for it, boys.
Got my popcorn
excited for this.
Oh, hell, I wrote about it. ScoreNorth.com. I wrote an entire column saying, what's the response? Because, I mean, this is, so this actually dates back to late March when baseball informed teams that they were going to begin to monitor baseballs, but not crack down initially. And I feel like the Joe West taking the hat from the Cardinals reliever coming into the game against the White Sox has sort of expedited this storyline up to last week when we get the SI just detailed breakdown of people off the record talking about. And to be clear, we're not talking about pine tar, rosin, or sunscreen. We're talking about concoctions.
Spider tack.
Yes, made especially for this. Like, we are talking about things like stickum, right? Like things that where, so this is not a, this has crossed the threshold, or this has crossed the line of, I use pine tar to keep control so I don't accidentally hit a guy in the head. I mean, that used to be the old thing and that was fine. Yeah. This is now, I am going to make the baseball do things that no, I'm going to look like Houdini on the mound. And so that's why this is now, this has become a big deal, because it's not, I'm trying to, on a hot summer's night, lose control of the baseball. It is, I'm going to do things with the baseball that have never been done before.
Yeah, it was a little suspicious when Gerrit Cole, like Spider-Man, threw a pitch last week that he just stopped in midair and then pulled back to his body. And then, you know, it's like, all right, we might need to look into this spider tack thing. Mm-hmm. Let's play this clip. So this is from yesterday, a Yankees beat writer. And this is what I love about the New York reporters. They don't really give a rip about what the players think, what Yankees PR thinks. Like, they're going to ask pointed, specific, in some cases antagonizing questions to get answers for the fans, right? Or to just get a better story or whatever it may be. So, Dex, you tell me how much. It's like a minute-long clip, but the first 20 seconds are the most amazing.
That's exactly what we have here, the first 20 seconds of this clip.
So, Gerrit Cole, who signed a $300 million contract, was a top prospect that kind of flamed out with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not flamed out, but like he was kind of a number two, number three. Then he goes to the Astros. And, oh, the Astros are just a pitching factory. All of a sudden he becomes like the greatest strikeout pitcher in baseball history, basically. And then he goes to the Yankees, $300 million contract. There seems to be a weird jump in your spin rates and your numbers. And this beat writer used the specific substance spider tack in his question. Have you ever used spider tack before as a pitcher?
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
It's the worst possible answer.
Save me from that clip. Now, he did go on for the next 40 seconds. He sort of recovered a little bit and said, listen, like, there's been guys from previous generations that have passed down certain things, and if baseball wants to crack down on the things that have been normally used behind the scenes, like, he kind of brought it back to, listen, if baseball wants to regulate some of this stuff, that's great.
Yeah.
But my biggest question for you guys is, have you ever been in a situation in your life where, I'm thinking like Declan back in high school, sneaking booze out of the 100%. Liquor cabinet, right? Like,
yeah.
Declan, I thought that whiskey bottle was full last time we checked it. and you know that you're going to get asked a question and you better have an answer to it, right? That was Garrett Cole yesterday. Like, how do you not have some, like, how have you not thought about being asked that question at some point over the last month and have just an immediate, like, even if you're lying, like, how do you not have an answer to that question is my question.
Because I think what he's afraid of, because he's, I think he's a pretty smart guy. I think what he's afraid of is the A-Rod Palmeiro. No, I'd never use Spider Tech. I didn't use it. And then, of course, he did, and it comes back, and that's a media core that will then eat you up. Like it's, they won't let that go. So I think he doesn't know how to answer it because he knows he's guilty. And I don't, and he clearly at this point in time, when baseball is actively trying to look for guys to suspend for 10 games, pitchers, he doesn't want to say, yeah, I, you know what? I have dabbled in Spider Tech, but he also knows that if he flat out goes A-Rod is like, I have never used Spider Tech, that it's going to come back and bite him in the ass because it's going to come out that he did. So I think that's where he's lost. He also has a, he has a role on, I think, the executive council of the Players Association Committee. And the most hilarious thing is at some point during this Zoom call yesterday, Garrett Cole talks about, well, you know, I mean, if they want to crack down, this is something we all have to do together and there will be conversations. Garrett, there will be no conversations. Let me tell you how this is going to go. You cheat, you get suspended. Like he made it sound like we'll talk about this in the wintertime. No, you're not going to talk about it in the winter, Garrett. You're about to get suspended if you use Spider Tech again. So,
yeah, we just listen, everyone. We just all need to come together. Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
Like, dude, you signed a $300 million contract because your spin rate jumped because of an illegal substance. And I, so, you know, that my first thought was, oh my God, like you have to have a better answer than, for 20
that's
seconds.
That's why he didn't. I don't think he knows what to do.
Another quick side note. I was, this last weekend, my wife and I binged season 2 of Dirty John on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have seen.
No.
I've heard of it.
Season 1 or season 2?
Didn't see it.
Season 2 is about a man who spends 2 years cheating on his wife and lying about it with his office secretary, and then she winds up killing him and the secretary, and it's all very grim. But for 2 years, he's cheating on her and coming home, and he's taken weekend trips with the secretary and then lying about where he's been. And she's onto it, and she keeps questioning him, like, well, I showed up to your work today, and there was a birthday cake in your office, and you were apparently gone with the secretary. Like, where are you guys? And he's like, listen, honey, it's me and the boys. And yeah, and Linda was with us too, but it was me and the boy. Like, he always had an answer for it because he knew he was going to get asked. Creepy and awful. But Garrett Cole, man, like, be better. On the flip side, this is all baseball's fault. Okay. Baseball is for 25 years, and Rob Manfred is as bad as Bud Selig ever was when it comes to putting his head in the sand with various cheating crises. Look at what the Astros were doing. They got, those players did not get punished. Baseball for 25 years has just turned a blind eye to cheating, steroids, to stealing signs from catchers, and now pitchers going above and beyond the standard rosin and sunscreen combination. And then instead of coming up with just regulated out in the open ways for pitchers, like, there should just be a regulated substance, just like there's a rosin bag behind the mound that everyone for 100 years has agreed, if your hands are too sweaty, you know, here's a powder bag that you can use to get a better feel for the baseball, right? And it's regulated. It's sitting literally out in the middle of the stadium for everyone to use. They should have the same thing in the NBA. Players want a better grip on the basketball, and so they want their feet to have better grip on the court, so they've got these little sticky pads that they stand on before they walk on the court. They've got the powder, like, it's all out in the open, right? No one's cheating. No one's putting a substance on their shoe to get better grip than somebody else. Like, why don't they just have a standardized grip substance that pitchers can openly use and just end this conversation? And instead, they lag behind this for decades, and now they're just throwing people under the bus left and right because they didn't have the wherewithal to police it themselves.
And so now that they've, what, threatened in the next couple weeks or so that they're going to start to suspend pitchers who are caught for 10 games, and they're now going to ask umpires to thoroughly check pitchers, which they've never really done previously. Like, you couldn't take a thumbtack, you know, out to the mound or something. But I don't know that there's ever really been a crackdown on substances beyond like back in the spitball days. So here's the thing about this, though, that I do think is the easier fix. It's the fact that this is going to be an attempt to get offense back in the game. And I think we can all agree, like, there was a time when if you saw a couple guys throw 100 miles per hour or something or have a crazy break on their pitch, it was like, oh, that was really cool to see once or twice. But I don't need to see that a ton. Steroids were fun. Like, let's be upfront. Steroids were fun. I mean, come on. Maguire, Sosa, Bonds, they became superhuman looking dudes who hit the baseball improbable. So like when you had to crack down on steroids, you're basically the fun police because you're like, you can't have that much fun.
Yeah.
This fix to me is very simple. Pitchers start to get suspended. They don't cheat as much. Their pitches are still probably pretty damn good, but they're not as good, right? So I do think that reversing this, while it's been compared to steroids, I think it's a much simpler thing because everybody except for pitchers are going to enjoy the results of this, where with steroids, it was like, yeah, but did you see that Maguire home run last night? I mean, that was fun. Yeah, so.
And think about just in terms of baseball's macro crisis of losing young fans and just not having any compelling on-the-field storylines to follow, right? I mean, the NBA has had a million of them. They've got LeBron James going to the Heat, and then LeBron, like all these LeBron James stories, and the Warriors, and the player movement, and there's all these things. The NFL always has amazing storylines and marketable stars, right? And Major League Baseball has been trying to find its footing for probably 15 or 20 years, ever since the steroid era came to a real end. And what are the things that we talk about most often now lately with baseball, the last 15 years? Oh, we talk about all those players from the 90s that had to show up to a congressional hearing and then lie. Sosa, Maguire, Palmeiro, Frank Thomas, all those guys, Roger Clemens. And then we go from there to the Astros cheating scandal from 3 or 4 years ago. Like, it's all these scandals that make you question what's real, what's not. Are these pitchers actually good? Are they just using amazing sticky substances to throw better breaking balls? Like, the first thing you think of when you watch a baseball game are all the things that need to be fixed. Why is the game taking so long?
Right.
Are these pitches real? Are hitters doing steroids? Right. It's like none of it is about the actual game itself and the players themselves.
Right.
So they can't connect with young fans as it is. They're blacking games out on their online platforms as it is. And then they've got all these big questions about whether players are doing things on the up and up. And Rob Manfred's still the commissioner. I mean, why is he still the commissioner? He is, for as bad as Bud Selig was for periods, Rob Manfred is exponentially worse than Bud Selig was.
Yeah, because, well, Bud oversaw the steroid era for sure, and he knew it was going on for sure, right? Like, there's no way that Bud was like, oh, those guys got bigger, didn't know that. But I will say this. I think deep down, Bud Selig cared about the game. I really do. Odd guy, for sure. Rob Manfred doesn't care about the game. I think the only reason that Rob is there is to oversee the work stoppage of 2022. I really do. I think that this is a bottom line. He's a lawyer. The people that run the sport want a guy in place that can play hardball as much as possible with players. So that's the problem. But yeah, I mean, baseball, it's as if nobody within baseball like looks at these different leagues, right? Basketball, football. And it's like, they got some really good ideas and like they grow their game continually. Baseball's such a, yeah, but I mean, come on, Hank, we've always done it this way. And it's frustrating to watch because baseball can be a great game. Like baseball's still a great sport. I'm sorry. It's still a great sport. But think about this one, okay? Think about what baseball has become in the last 5 to 10 years as far as things being taken out of the game that are actually exciting. The stolen base being gone is not good. The stolen base is cool. The stolen base is a lot of fun to watch. Like, if you've got guys who can steal bases, that's an enjoyable thing as a fan. Guy on first, this guy's quick. You know, back in the day, he has 60 steals. Can he get to 70? And now it's like, yeah, but that's not a productive way to get a base. So it's also this weird, It's this weird old guard and new guard in baseball, and I'm not sure either guard completely gets it. Because it's the new guard that sort of cracked down on, that doesn't make a lot of sense to do. But as a fan, it's exciting to me. Like, the stolen base being gone doesn't really make sense, right? Don't you enjoy the stolen base?
As a new school guy, it makes sense strategically and analytically to not attempt to steal as many bases.
I get
that. Like, you need to hit 80-some percent to make it a worthwhile
ball. But do you not enjoy the gamble that it provides? And if a guy has the ability to steal bases, that makes him more dynamic in my eyes as a fan.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I totally get what you're saying.
The NBA's got the same thing, and I actually enjoy today's product, but most of the teams in today's NBA are taking two shots. They're taking shots at point-blank range, and they're taking threes. And only the rare, like, there's still some guys, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, that are good enough shooters from mid-range where they're gonna take those shots still. But the game is not as layered. The game is not as layered in baseball as it was a long time ago. I'm glad that Theo Epstein has been hired on as an internal consultant to try and untangle a lot of this mess. As far as tonight is concerned and the Twins and the Yankees, I just want to see Josh Donaldson hit a ball 450 feet off Gerrit Cole and do the D-Generation X crotch chop around the bases. And I want benches to clear, baby.
I want
chaos tonight.
I'm very curious to see if Cole buzzes the tower.
I don't think he dares do that.
I'm just saying, you might be right, but
he could claim, oh, sorry, that one got away. Wish I had a little
buzzes.
Bit of
exactly.
substance.
I'm just saying,
buzzes the tower.
If something doesn't happen tonight, I'm going to be the most disappointed person in the stadium.
Well,
I want something to happen tonight.
If Donaldson even gets a single off Gerrit Cole, he will chirp or stare him down. He can't help himself, and I'm here for it, right? I don't know if Gerrit Cole strikes out Donaldson. I don't know if he will then stare back, but something will happen.
I don't know how Gerrit Cole is wired, but if he has a temper at all, like, this is the worst thing, because he was called out in particular. And Donaldson is a very smart dude. Like, he's a calculating dude. He knew that the Twins were going to play the Yankees in an upcoming series because he made these comments on Friday in Kansas City. He knew that starting on Tuesday night, that these two teams were going to meet, and he's smart enough where my guess is he knew Cole was going to pitch. So, I mean, this is a firm attempt to get into the head of Cole. Now, here's my question for you guys, though. There's been a lot of off-the-record comments about this stuff and on background, hey, the pitchers are doing this, but the SI story was largely made up of unnamed people who gave their thoughts but are like, I can't be named. Donaldson's one of the few guys so far to come out and, like, directly talk about this, and he brings up a name in Gerrit Cole.
Trevor Bauer has also, I believe, mm-hmm. named Gerrit Cole before.
Right. But I mean, I think this is one of the few hitters to actually name names and talk about what's happening and how it's hurting baseball on the record. So here's my question, though. And this is the one thing, again, by not having access to the clubhouse, we don't know. How interesting do you find it that Donaldson is one of the few people to do this? And to me, it speaks volumes about how he feels about his own pitchers. Because I think a lot of guys aren't talking about this, because if they do it, they know that they're indicting at least some of their teammates who are pitchers, right? Because, I mean, this is being done. It's rampant. I just find it intriguing that Donaldson, I'm not shocked by it, but he has the cojones or the doesn't care to talk about this, because if I'm a pitcher in the clubhouse for the Twins, and I don't know, maybe I use some of the tacky stuff.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say that Alex Colome and Matt Shoemaker aren't using the same concoction that Gerrit Cole has been using.
I know. But don't you find it? Just don't you find it? But don't you find it intriguing? Because to me, what this means is, you know what? You guys aren't that good. I don't care. I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it's like the ship has sailed. Sorry, J-Hap. Sorry, Robles. We're gonna out you guys.
Hey, Colome was great last night. I don't know what you're talking about.
It really was. Yeah. It was so clutch. Yeah. So good.
All right, good.
All I'm saying is this could cause a little friction, and I'm here for that as well.
Yeah. These Twins conversations, talking Twins, talking cheating every single day. powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk. Dennis Kirk is here for your summer rides. They've got everything to make sure you don't miss a minute of riding this summer. Whether you ride a Harley, a Metric Cruiser, sport bike, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. And if you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day, and shipping is free for orders over $89. So check them out, DennisKirk.com. They ship today. As far as the actual standings and the games themselves here, I saw The Athletic put a nugget out yesterday that the Twins front office was using these six games at home against the Yankees and the Astros this week as sort of a final barometer for whether they can compete with the best teams, the big dogs in the American League, which I say that ship has sailed. If there was any doubt, they would have had to probably win like five of six of these games. Well, now they need to run the table because they got beat last night. And they're just like, even defensively, they melt down.
They made four errors last night.
Astudillo had just two terrible plays. One, the ball might have gotten lost in the lights, but like, come on, dude.
Why is Donaldson not playing third now? Something's up there.
Yeah.
He's played third base once since Friday.
Yeah.
He played Saturday, but he's been DHing.
He's been ready for the heavyweight bout that is tonight against
Well, and here's the thing, though. If they had a guy to stick at third who was competent, I'd be like, oh, okay, good idea. He you know, get some days off in the field. But Astudillo at third, that ball that he cut off last night on the throw from Larnick from left field was one of the most inexcusable cutoffs I have ever seen.
It didn't quite rise to the level of Manny Ramirez cutting off that Johnny Damon throw. Do you guys remember that clip from 17 years ago?
Good one, yeah.
Johnny Damon throws a ball in from left center, and Manny Ramirez, who's playing left field, dives and cuts the throw off. So that's still the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore, but that one last night was very strange. I don't know why. Like, what is the benefit of cutting that ball off? I really don't understand.
There was none. Yeah. I'll tell you what the benefit was. Zero.
But in terms of trade discussions, I saw Declan put it out on the Score North Twitter account too. Just if you had to trade and keep one of these two, Berríos and Buxton, which one would you trade? Which one would you keep? And I think most people are saying, well, why would you trade either one of them? Well, both have a year and a half left on their contracts. Both have turned down every extension you've offered them to this point. If Berríos, for instance, wants to hit the open market in a year and a half, this would be a really good time to trade him. So that's a good segue to our friend Judd Zolgad, who has put together all of the different trade rumors and discussions surrounding some of the key players on these teams in the Twin Cities.
Reckless speculation.
Berríos, Buxton, Fiala. Fiala, back to Buxton. Over to Fiala.
Back over to Kat.
Give us your pecking
order. Daniel Hunter.
Fires goes well.
Cat rumors we've
drop
seen.
Pass to Carl Anthony Towns. Towns back to Berríos.
What is your pecking order of players that have been rumored in trades recently and the likelihood that they actually get traded?
So I've got those five guys. And to start off with, my parameters are this. Berríos or Buxton very well might be dealt, but both won't be. So one is going to be atop this list and one I drop down because if one goes, they both don't go. Got that? Okay. So this list is predicated on the fact that I am banking on which Twins player will be traded. In fact, you know what? I'm going to start at the bottom of the list. It's no fun.
Yeah, start at the bottom.
It's no fun.
Yeah, gentlemen.
It's all.
Yep.
Number five on my list, Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to at this point explore trading him. I don't see a return that would justify attempting to trade him. Chris Finch needs to see what he's got in Ant and Carl Anthony Towns and D'Lo. And so number five on my list, and this could change, but for now, I think Towns for sure is staying put.
I agree. We're a year away from, because he has 3 years left in his contract, I believe. So you could go another year, sort of feel out this nucleus. If you miss the playoffs again or miss the play-in again, then you can make a decision next offseason.
And by the way, by next year at this time, we better damn well have a good, real good, clear view of what Ant, Cat, and D'Lo can do. Like, I'm done with the old, well, they're growing together, right? Like, that's fair right now. But a year from now, we should be able to have Gerson Rosas and Chris Finch make definitive decisions. All right. Number four on this list, which is going to give away a little bit of the direction I'm going here, Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton, the Twins, I think, are going to sign Brios or Buxton. They probably can't afford to sign both. And Buxton, my God, I mean, the skill set, man, he tripled in AAA last night in St. Paul. This would be a tough one to trade away, because if he ever, and I know, and I'm almost done with this as well, but if he ever can put it together as far as health goes, not playing, he's there playing wise. If he can ever put it together as far as health goes, I mean, this is one of the most special players in baseball with a wide ranging skill set that very few have. So four on my list is Byron Buxton.
Yeah. One note about that too. I said this on yesterday's show. Yes, it's a gamble health-wise with Buxton. It's a gamble health-wise with Berríos, too, even though he hasn't had major injury issues. He's a pitcher who's been throwing nasty stuff for his whole career without really any injury. So that means he's probably due for an injury. So let's just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind.
Perhaps a little tack? Perhaps a little sticky tack?
I don't know how to answer
Jose Berríos, have you used?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
All right, number three on my list, much to the dismay of the executive producer of this show, he'll accept it, but he won't like it.
That's my life.
Kevin Fiala. Bill Guerin at the season-ending press conference for the Wild talked about Kaprizov and Fiala and that group of guys being long-term players here. Nonetheless, if you are seriously going to pursue what you consider to be a number one center during the course of this summer, it's going to cost you a lot. And Kaprizov is staying put. I've seen Kaprizov's name. Like, would you trade him? Are you crazy?
Where the hell would do that?
You just got him. And
I've seen that too. Where's that coming from?
I think it's coming from fans who are like, I think fans assume Kaprizov would be the main trade guy for a center. Like we assume Fiala would be, but I mean, you wouldn't give up Kaprizov. You just wouldn't.
He's the only reason why your team is relevant right now.
What I was looking for.
All due respect to Kevin Fiala.
I meant Chip. Trade Chip. Yes. Right. And Fiala is like, to me, he's at the top of the food chain of guys that you probably would consider trading in a deal that got you back what you were trying to get. I mean, Kirill Kaprizov, the franchise player. So anyway, Fiala's third. Second for now, and this is subject to change, but right now, knowing what we do know, Danielle Hunter. If Danielle Hunter is after the Joey Bosa contract, and he's flat out saying, I'm not playing unless I either get more or at least the same as a contract that is comparable to a lot of quarterbacks' contracts in this league, I don't know that the Vikings can afford that, and I don't know that they are going to go down that path with the guy coming off surgery for a herniated disc. So for right now, I'm going to put Danielle Hunter second on this list.
Interesting. I don't know that I'd put him more likely than Kevin Fiala, but I mean, the way you laid it out there, if he's got some negativity in his ear and he wants that Joey Bosa contract, then
yeah.
Well, maybe they
next week
like they
we find
no
out. Next week we'll find out more. Number one, obvious, Jose Berríos. Berríos wants to break the bank. The Twins clearly have tried to get him signed to team-friendly deals here for a couple of years, and at every turn, I think he has said no. And this comes down to one thing: I like him a lot, and I think he's a good pitcher who is better than what you have across the board. Is he one of those 5 to 8 guys who are just phenomenal true aces? The answer to that is no. Does he want to be paid like that? That's the question. Mm. And so I go Berríos 1, Hunter 2, Fiala 3, Buxton 4, Cat 5.
There it is. Judd's pecking order of – now, in terms of guys who have a 50% chance or greater of being traded in the next few months, I think Berríos and Fiala. I don't think any of the other three are above 50%. I think it's a coin flip chance that both those guys get traded in the next couple months.
I think on Hunter, we need to find out what the animosity is going to be pretty quickly. Like, because I can't tell if this were a 1 to 10, you know, is this a lot of smoke? Is there fire? With him, I can't tell yet. You know, I'd put it like a 4 or 5. But by the end of next week, it could be an 8. Like, if the Vikings come out and they will probably do what? A Schefter or somebody like that. And at least on background, make it very clear. If they come out and are like, you know what? We're not doing this. We can't. We're not. He wants the Bosa contract and we're saying no. That changes this game completely. What and then day he does, becomes like an 8.
What day does the mini camp start next week?
It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
So we'll know Tuesday if he is shown up. But if they're starting to leak stuff out now, my guess is they'll go full assault here. If he is basically dug in, they'll go full assault as far as starting to leak stuff out themselves.
Well, they already sort of did.
I know, but I'm saying you could go to Schefter and make it very clear we're not paying him that. And my guess is that would be out by like Thursday.
Oh, here for it. Oh, it's a good thing we have a daily Viking show too called Purple Daily that you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts. The Score North app, which is brand new. It's all refreshed. You can find all of Judd's written work and all of our videos and podcasts all across the Score North network. So check that out. Federated is also on board with us here. We thank them for being a partner of Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily for a number of years. And they've been standing by business owners as well for over 100 years, based in Owatonna. So check out all the resources that they can provide your business. You can also find out, too, if your business fits in with the businesses that they serve. There's a full list on federatedinsurance.com and all kinds of other tools and resources and information. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours. I have a feeling a lot of the things we just talked about there in the first chunk of Mackie and Judd might come back around and write that down.
Oh boy.
So let's take a deep breath.
You think?
And we will get to the most crunched and tight, dramatic batting title race that we've... I'm just saying, to this point.
Oh, that's true.
To this
point. I thought there was...
That we've had. And maybe it'll get even more dramatic and more tight. We'll see. Write that down coming up next.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck. Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lake shore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Yeah, that's right. This is one of the tightest, if not the tightest, most dramatic batting average races we have had this late in a season. We're almost halfway through the season. And Judd, who's been basically leading the batting average race for a year and a half, has conceded the race, at least to this point, to me.
I'm not conceding anything. I have fallen behind.
You have given the top slot away to me.
I know, but I'm coming back after it.
We are the only show in America that actually keeps track of our predictions, holds each other accountable, puts our reputations on the line each and every single week. We've got a guest listener, predictor, Carter, that's going to join us here in just a minute. But here are the ground rules for Write That Down. 3 predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We do this on both Mackie and Judd and on Purple Daily every Wednesday now. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you want to participate, send us a message through the brand new Score North app. There's a feedback section just on the bottom. There's like 3 or 4 different icons on the bottom. One of them is for feedback. You can send us a quick message, and we'll get those via email, and we'll get back to you. Make sure you send us the best contact information for you as well in that feedback message, and we will make sure that you get scheduled in the future. All right, boys, Write That Down this week is presented by our friends at PXG Minneapolis. If you're looking to get out there, take some swings, and maybe cut down on strokes, maybe you're looking to just look better on the golf course.
Awesome.
Well, PXG can help you in both those categories. The new Gen 4 golf clubs have arrived. These are the best performing clubs the PXG has ever made. They also have new spring and summer apparel has just arrived in store. So PXG Minneapolis and Southdale Center, and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis. Are you guys ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Ready to rock.
Yeah, let's see it.
I can sense some nervous energy here because nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you sold
it. It's going to happen.
You sold it.
We'll start with Judd, as we always do. The accountability session here. A couple things came off the board for Judley. He said Tom Thibodeau will finish top three in NBA Coach of the Year. Well, he won it. Tibbs, Coach of the Year.
Darn, I wish I said. Okay. No,
is
that's good.
Is he the one that got away? Are we going to regret this, that we didn't side with Tom Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler?
No, because he was also chief executive, which that was the biggest problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
If he'd just been coach, it might have worked, actually.
Yep. Yeah. Probably needed still a little bit more of a separation there between the two jobs.
Yeah.
You also said Karl Anthony Towns will be the 2021 NBA MVP years back.
I was premature with that prediction whenever I made it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is a prediction that goes back 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
Wow. I said Karl Anthony Towns will win an MVP within the next 5 years.
After he will be the man.
Well, he is the man on that team anyways. Well, actually, Ant Edwards is the man.
I was going to say, what about Ant? No.
And I just want to throw this one out there because he made some headlines this week.
Okay.
Also, like 5 years ago, I said Johnny Manziel will star in a reality show before starting again in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't yet. He was a quarterback in that league that started up a few months ago where, like, the fans call the plays in real time.
Yep.
But he made headlines this week. He was on a Barstool podcast, and he told a story about making $33,000 in 1 month signing apparel and, you know, autographs and different things while he was at Texas A&M, and he said he never signed anything for money before he got his Heisman Trophy, but after he got the Heisman, he was taking money under the table to do private autograph signings.
I didn't hear that.
And he turns to the camera at one point, and he goes, and I guess if the NCAA wants to sanction this and take away my trophies, then they can. And then he did, I'll just say, a derogatory thing toward the camera.
Oh, boy.
So, Johnny Manziel, I still think there's a good chance that there's going to be some sort of, like, online bar stool reality show.
How has this not
something.
Happened yet?
I don't know.
I thought that he would be primed to be, like, an E-show or something.
Right.
Yeah, like, or, like, doesn't VH1 still do the, like, broken down celebrity show things, you know?
Do they?
Dude, I
no, like,
don't,
they used to do, like, celebrity, yeah.
Celebrity
Fit
Rehab.
Club or
yeah, that was
Rehab.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
were great.
Dr. Drew?
Yep, those were great.
He's unbelievable.
All right, listeners, had a couple things come off the board. Matt said the Knicks will lose Game 5 to the Hawks. They did. Right.
Very good.
It's a tough one for Josh. He said, I think this is back in like January or February, Josh said the Vikings will go 12-4 this upcoming season and win the North and end up as the 2 seed. Well, you can see the problem with the math there.
Oh, he got Declan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you would have said 12 wins, this would still be on the board. But they, unless a game gets canceled, they mathematically cannot go.
Write that down. It can be so cruel.
I know. Well,
it can be so cruel. It can break your heart.
I don't know. There was definitely some rumblings that the schedule would expand by a game, and so maybe I don't know, Josh. Maybe Josh should have been more on top of the tea leaves there. I don't know. All right, Declan, you said the Lynx will win 2 of their next 3 games. They did. Congratulations. I also want to point out that you have a prediction on the board that says I, Phil Mackey, will be incorrect on at least 5 Bachelor-related predictions in 2021. Well, I'm 2 for 3 so far, so you need me to be wrong on at least 4 more before you get this point.
Okay.
And now that we've got another season of The Bachelorette that just started this week, you know that I'm going to be firing predictions left and right.
Thank you for at least firing them, because you could play it safe and
I'm not afraid of this.
No. I'm glad
I am not afraid of this.
Well, so far he's winning.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm going to stare down the barrel of your prediction, and we'll see where the chips fall here.
Take that.
Yeah. Yep. I like that.
All right. So here are the updated batting averages. Look at this.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I cling to a 1-point lead at 365 with one home run. Judd at 364 with 3 home runs. Declan within 6 points at 359 with two home runs, and listeners are clinging within about 50 points at 314 with two home runs. It really is anybody's game here.
Write this down.
I don't think the listeners have ever been this high in the batting average race before, have they?
They've rarely been above 300.
They were in Sinnoh territory.
Yeah, they've rarely been above 300 because they get on here, and let's get our guy Carter in here because he's the guest listener predictor for this week. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes listeners get in here, they get all excited, and they want to swing for home runs, and it affects the batting average. Carter, what's your strategy today?
I'm mostly swinging.
Love it.
From the heels.
Yeah. Now, are you aware that some of the pitchers that you might be facing are using spider tack and are just going to be throwing filthy breaking balls?
I'll just step in the way of them then.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at
it's like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Take one for the team.
So we're going to go around the room three times. We'll start with Carter, then we'll go to Judd, Declan, back to me, Phil. They must be quantifiable. Carter, lead us off. Fire away.
I'm not sure if somebody's already done this, but Kaprizov will win the Memorial Hart Trophy next year.
Ooh.
No.
I don't think
we got the MVP for Kaprizov yet.
No, and even so, I think
write it down. You like writing things down.
Yeah, you can double that prediction up even if it's on there.
Yeah.
You're good with that one. All right, Judd Zulgad, your first prediction.
If he's healthy, Byron Buxton will be on the AL All-Star roster this July. He will be the Twins representative. I was going through the list of potential guys to be picked, and let's just say it's not a real long list right now. So Buxton coming back will be on the AL All-Star roster this July.
All right. That's kind of a parlay because you're also predicting that he's going to stay healthy for the next month or so.
Yep.
And play enough to be recognized.
But he'll deserve it if he is.
Yeah, we'll see.
Write that down.
All right, Declan.
All right. Victor Rask will be acquired by the Seattle Kraken this summer. And I would like to explain my logic why, but a little teased because I'm a GD professional. Tune into Judd's hockey show later today, and I'll explain why Victor Rask will be acquired by the Seattle Kraken this summer.
Wow, look at that. Just a cross-show tease right there.
It's because the Kraken needs speed.
I tune into Judd's hockey show. Yeah, maybe it's speed. Maybe it's some other reasons. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Write that down.
I'm trying to decide how far to go with my Donaldson-Garrett Cole prediction. I'm going to swing for more of a single here. Write this down. Sometime during tonight's game, Donaldson and or Cole will chirp at the other guy verbally. So you know how most interactions between batters and pitchers, they just hitter walks up, takes his swings, whatever, and there's no verbal, there's literally zero dialogue, right? There will be dialogue between Garrett Cole and Josh Donaldson tonight during the game or before the game in batting practice. I want to put that out there too. But I'm guessing it'll happen during the game.
So do we have to see a highlight of it? Like how do we know, or that they just talk on the telecast or write about potential dialogue between the two?
No, they will be caught on camera.
Okay.
With one guy speaking to the other one in some form.
Okay.
I'm trying to quantify, like, I think one of them's going to, if Garrett Cole strikes out Donaldson, he's going to say something, right?
I'm trying to quantify this.
It won't be.
Okay, good.
That's off the record. It's hard to quantify that.
I think I got you. Okay.
Okay. All right, back over to Carter here, your second prediction.
So I'm going to try swinging with my with a blindfold over my eyes and a smaller bat, hoping for a home run.
Oh, like Miguel Sano.
That's how I played baseball, yeah.
The Vikings, so this is the parlay. The Minnesota Vikings will make it to the NFC Championship. Wow. They will be down by 5 points within 2 minutes. And Kirk Cousins will throw the game-losing interception within the red zone.
Okay, I love this.
Wow.
I want to offer a little tweak to this so that you don't get totally screwed. I think it should be within 5 points.
That's what I meant to say, was within 5 points.
Because if it's four and this happens and you get it wrong because you said five, we don't want to have to do that. So within 5 points,
yep.
I like it. All right, you got all that, Dex? We good?
Yep.
Okay. And then the calling for Kellen Mondstaff.
That'll be us the next day on Purple Daily.
Oh, hell yeah. For 2022? You got that right.
All right, back to Judd, your second prediction.
Because I think I need to, at the very least, will this to actually take place. It has to happen soon. Matt Shoemaker will be DFA'd by the Twins by the end of July. Matt Shoemaker will be DFA'd. He has to be. You can't continue. There's no reason to continue down this path. So Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, make it happen. Matt Shoemaker, DFA'd by the end of July.
We need to comb through Judd's predictions and see what percentage of them are just like him hoping that something he wants it to happen so bad, and he's trying to speak it into existence here.
You know, it's hot out. So my hands are sweaty, dude.
Matt Shoemaker. Who's pitching for the Twins tonight?
It's Randy Dobnik v. Garrett Cole, which pretty much sums up your Twins 2021 season. The Dodger against the Yankees, it always works out, you guys. Don't worry about it.
Think about that, like the arms race. And the Yankees have definitely have a need for starting pitching, too. But the fact that they can run out of Garrett Cole in a playoff game.
Write that down.
All right. Back over to Declan, your second prediction.
All right. I'll just say in the heavyweight bout ding-ding that is Josh Donaldson versus Garrett Cole this evening at Target Field, I'll just say Josh Donaldson will collect at least one hit against Garrett Cole. So I'm just going to – he's going to get a base knock. So Josh Donaldson will collect at least one hit against Garrett Cole.
Okay. I like it. Here for that.
Write that down.
All right. Write this down. Taylor Rogers will be the first Twins player traded between now and the deadline. And I'll add this little tweak to it, or he'll be included. Like if it's a multiplayer trade, he will be, he'll be in the first trade. So let's say it's him and Berríos or something in a package deal.
I got you.
He will be either the first player traded or included in the first trade by the Twins. I mean, teams are just always looking for arms, reliever specifically.
Write that down.
He's got a year and a half left in his deal. Like there's just, they're not going to give him a big money contract. I think he's 30 years old. So it just makes sense. Okay. All right, Carter, your final prediction, sir.
Between now and the end of the month, Judd will miss out on the rest of one of your guys' podcasts due to technical difficulties.
I love it.
So he has to – this happened on Purple Daily about 3 weeks ago.
It was the only time it's ever happened.
So he has to have like – technical difficulties would knock Judd out of the show, and then he doesn't come back in time for the end of the taping, right? That's
correct.
The parameters here? Okay.
Okay, Declan, no like sabotage.
It. No,
well,
no,
I mean,
no.
We could also, if Judd ducks out because of technical problems, we could also just wrap the show within like 30 seconds and get Carter a point.
I love the power
in our hands.
I only had technical difficulties once, Carter. It was only once.
It was a four minute show today. We got to go. Yeah. Sorry, we needed to get Carter a point and write that down.
Oh God, that's funny.
All right, Carter, since you're sitting here, this is a life-changing, massive platform that you've stumbled into today. Is there anyone in your life that you'd like to thank that brought you to this pinnacle moment?
Matthew Caller. Awesome. I've gotten so much more into all of this just strictly because of him. I enjoy listening to him and through him, you guys. So.
Right on, man.
Thanks, dude.
Caller does an awesome job. Purple Insider. If a lot of people wonder, what's Caller doing? Purple Insider is his podcast and he's crushing it. So Carter, good work on your predictions. We'll get you on again sometime.
Oh, wow. They're coming for you, Carter. Look out.
That was a motorcycle.
Okay. Thanks, Carter.
That was just indigestion from Judd.
Yeah. Right there. That's my morning stomach.
It's Collar coming to get him on Purple Insider.
It really was. It was Taco Tuesday yesterday.
That's right.
It's coming through right now. All right, back over to Judd Zulgad.
Write that down.
That's gross. Okay, my final write that down prediction, and I did stay on the theme of Twins things that I want to see take place. Andrelton Simmons will be traded by July the 4th. So by the 4th of July, Andrelton Simmons will be gone.
Okay.
Like, there's no reason to continue. And he made another error last night. He missed the bag.
Dude.
It just didn't work, okay? Like, it's fine. They took a shot. I appreciate the shot, but there's other things that you can do now to get guys playing time who you clearly need to see. And if the Yankees and Astros series are going to be your final test before you decide what to do, I got news. Start now.
I was so excited for that Simmons signing, too.
Yeah.
My God. Like, yes. He's just been so good.
And Donaldson as well. So was I. But, I mean, it's just it, at some point in time, you just say it didn't work out.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Write
Declan.
It down. You like writing things down.
Yeah, clearly I think we're all on the same page here because I also have a Twins trade prediction. The Twins will trade a player on their active roster by month's end. So the Twins will trade a player on their active roster by month's end.
The 26-man roster?
I was going to say established, but then I didn't want to get grayed out because there could be some stupid technicality on established. So I'm just going to put the Twins will trade a player on their active roster by month's end.
It's sort of like that.
Yeah, we would never hunt you down on a technicality segment.
In fact, no.
I'd like you to put a name to that, Dex.
You two are.
Come on, put a name to it.
You two are 2-3. You two are 2-3. The listeners are the ones who sabotage and put in our DMs and my and Phil's DMs of actually. Well, Declan said a world heavyweight championship, and Christian never did this. So,
That did happen.
I'm not going to get burned. All right. If anyone's going to burn, I'm going to burn myself. Okay. I'm not going to let that happen.
All right. Okay. Easy, Kane.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I will light myself
Suck
on
it.
Fire.
And now I'm the mayor of some small Tennessee town.
Knox County.
Knox County, baby.
All right, final prediction here. Write this down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
So as you guys know, Monday night, the launching of, I believe, season 17 of The Bachelorette, and we've got Katie Thornton or something.
Yeah, she's great.
Thorson. Katie.
Yep, she's great.
And Katie, they always have to sort of brand. They've got to pick out one thing about The Bachelorette that they really hammer home, right? So a few years back, Colton was the bachelor, and he was a virgin. Well, as it turned out, the real headline is Colton was gay, and that came out like a few months ago. But so the branding of Katie Judd, and Dex, did you watch on Monday night?
I did, and I have to catch up, man. Okay. But go ahead and spoil. You're good.
So Katie prides herself on being sex positive.
Yep.
Okay, she's very open about her sexuality.
She's a good Instagram
She likes sex, okay? And she's very open about this. So write this down. Katie will either confirm or infer strongly, and Declan and I can bring this to the table,
yep,
that she was, shall we say, sex positive with one of the contestants before Fantasy Suite Week. She's going to hook up with one of the contestants before Fantasy Suite Week.
No problem.
Write it down.
Got it.
And I will say third base or home. Third base or home.
Okay.
And then we can sort this out.
Getting very particular here.
I just want to tell you, Judd, it's very rare the norms and the way that the Bachelor and Bachelorette is set up. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to seal the deal until you get to the final four, which is Fantasy Suite Week.
So the producers won't be happy about this.
I think they'll actually be thrilled with it, but it's not. Yeah, it's not part of the normal process.
Who is the former big league pitcher who's in this?
Oh.
There's like a Baltimore Oriole pitcher.
Yeah, I can't remember his
name.
Or
he was in our system.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember.
So it's not that big a deal.
So, yeah, it was.
Well.
Yeah, it wasn't like Mike Mussina or anything.
Mike Planeta.
Hey, guys, I'm single.
Mike.
Who?
Mike Planeta.
Oh, I said Michael Pineda. Michael Pineda, hey! Take that tube off your
pine tar on his neck.
I got some sticky stuff over here. I got some. Oh, my gosh. I just had a terrible thought that I can't say or I shouldn't say.
Okay, then don't do it.
Why I just said that.
No, I know. I think I know where you're going. What's that on your neck?
God, dude.
Could it be used for more than one? Could it be used for more than one purpose?
Oh, God.
Hey, look, there are... Was it Gaylord Perry? Somebody acknowledged it after the fact that they used KY jelly to goop up the pitches.
Oh,
I don't know if it was Gaylord. Yes, I do remember.
No. I think Gaylord said that he had used KY jelly on the baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mike Planeta, 1,400 at bats in the minor leagues, and he slashed .238, .227, and an OPS of .589. So not a.
I gotta stop by the sex store. I'm starting tonight. I need some goop.
Sorry. Yeah, give me your stickiest substance.
Hey, Mike Panetta, why are you in Sex World? Oh, just
but yes, Katie's awesome. Katie's a good Instagram follow.
Like a Declan trying to avoid.
Yep, trying to get the hell off of what the hell we're trying to do here. But yes, Katie's a
Declan just podcast. We can dabble.
Declan grabbing the wheel and just turning it to the left.
I told I was on the Back Pocket podcast with my guys Andrew and Declan, and I told them they asked like
wow, so many Declans.
What so many? It was a Declan party, to be completely honest. But they said, you know, what is the producer, you know, like what do you equate it to? It's like, I'm the brakes on the car. So I'm not driving the car per se. I'm not making the car even go. But when you rely on me, it is up to me to make sure no one dies in the car. Yep. And the car stays on the road.
You're driving instructor.
On the brakes.
The brake on your side, just in case.
Yeah.
That you have to brake for
us. Just make sure that your LED screen isn't turned to adult films, like, was it Eddie Griffin? Isn't that how?
Oh yeah,
Eddie Griffin got arrested one time.
Yeah, and then
former Timberwolf Center,
and then unfortunately died. Right.
Well, that was that was later.
Yeah,
that was a different.
Yeah, I think he cracked. I think he was watching an adult movie in his car, and didn't he crash right in front of like Santana's or something?
Yeah, Mr. Santana's.
Mr. Santana's. Yeah.
Great Euros, Mr. Santana's. Good Euros there.
Really?
Yeah, I used to get really at when I would visit buddies at the U. It was a great drunken 2 a.m. stumble. Really good Euros.
That's
really
great. Euros. I think there used to be two Santana's stores. There was one off Fourth, and then one a block down off University.
University, yeah.
Anyways,
okay, that was fun.
All right, good talk there, boys.
All right,
heck of a talk. All right.
Oh my god.
Great. We'll just sit here awkwardly until Declan.
Zolgad here for Sex World. If you're pitching,
Zolgad here for KY.
If you're pitching tonight, I got an idea for you. Just stop in, just blocks from Target Field.
Oh my god!
just a little dab up to the first knuckle, and you'll be fine.
Watch the movement on that ball.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.